It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Stavin's Den.
All right, we are back. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. Going to start it off with something fun. Nazi news. I always like to start off, something uplifting for the kids. By the way, speaking of Nazi news, we were talking about that movie that Kyrie Irving saw last week. Remember that? The basketball player?
Yeah.
Oh.
And I said I didn't know exactly what was in it. Among the things that are in it, Joe, because Joe was asking me about it, a denial that the Holocaust happened. So.
Lovely.
So, yeah.
Was there any allegation of mistreatment of blacks by Jews?
Yes, of course. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, like I was saying last week, if that was the allegation, I'm surprised Black Lives Matter didn't go in there and say, well, you know, the Jews did mistreat the, you know, from what it shows, you know, the Jews, there might have been a history that the Jews were mistreating the blacks.
No, the Black Lives Matter doesn't want to be involved in that mess. No, it's completely bullshit, based on a bullshit book. But what's interesting now is Kyrie did get suspended, and now he has to do certain things to get back. What's scary is Kyrie has a lot of supporters for him tweeting that. That's pretty scary in its own right. You know, Kyrie's preaching the truth, although he has since apologized. But people have brought up, and they're absolutely right to say it, how come nobody's coming after Amazon for having this on there? And now because of this whole controversy, the book and the movie are now on the top of the Amazon charts. But how come Amazon doesn't pay a price for allowing this filth on there? They're going to do the thing, well, you know, we just put the stuff up there. You know, we're not condoning or endorsing anything up there. But you listen, Kyrie just.
But that's the thing. They're putting it up there. It's quote unquote entertainment.
No. It's billed as a documentary. That's the difference.
Okay.
So if I present something as a documentary, though it may be entertaining, you are assuming that it is fact based.
That's true.
You do look at a documentary as entertainment. It's on a platform.
No, but I don't watch a documentary and expect to hear afterwards that it was all complete lies. That's what I'm
right.
If you watch a documentary about Abraham Lincoln, you don't expect afterwards to go, no, that whole thing's horseshit. But it was a documentary. It's all horseshit.
No, I think by definition, documentary means that it's viewing what's actually happening, so the supposition is that everything is true.
Yeah.
If it's a documentary and it's full of horseshit, it's not a documentary.
It's full of horseshit. It's just, all right.
Yeah,
so, but yeah, I mean, oh, I didn't mean to hit that. Hold on, Nazi news. We'll get
what
Nazi.
What did you do?
No, but Amazon, I mean, listen, it might be one of those cases that Amazon is too big to fail, one of those things where, like, you can't really punish Amazon. But the interesting thing is I read today, I guess in a couple seasons, Amazon has the rights to broadcast the NBA in Brazil. I think that's where it is. Now, the NBA could say, no, you're not giving you these rights unless you take all your hate stuff off there. We don't want to be associated with you. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Kyrie was wrong. The people who are supporting him and think that Kyrie was right are despicable, but Amazon should pay a price. Amazon should definitely, they should do the right thing and take it down. That's what they should do, but they won't.
But do we want Amazon to be the gatekeepers of what we are allowed to digest?
No, I don't want them to be the. I didn't say the book. Those people could distribute it on their own website. How many times have we seen like people like Walmart and Sears and various other platforms? eBay won't let you sell Nazi shit on there. You know, they go, no, this is our platform. We don't want to be associated with it. Doesn't mean you can't buy Nazi shit. You just can't buy it on our platform. That's what I'm saying Amazon should do. They could could still sell their book and their movie on their website, and then the web host can decide if they want that on there. There's plenty of servers that you can't have porn. That they, you know, like for instance, my so when we had the Julie Love stuff on there, there was a video of her topless and naked, actually naked. So to conform with the host at the time, I don't know if it is on the current version, but my web host at the time, I had to blur it out because they didn't want you they didn't want to host pornography. So Amazon has the same can make the same choice. Anybody can make the same choice. Doesn't mean you can't get it. You could still knock on their door. But if I don't want it, if I don't want it on my site, I have the right to say it. If I don't want to host it, I have the right to say it. Just like you have the right to make it.
Hmm. We'll see how it plays out.
We have to pixelate the titties?
We have to what now?
Pixelate the titties?
Yeah. That's what we did. All right, let's do some let's do some Nazi news.
At the end of the conversation, you forgot to say hi Hitler.
The Madison Children's Museum has fired a Wisconsin man who, with cognitive disabilities after he wore an Adolf Hitler costume over the Halloween weekend. The museum said the man believed he was making a mockery of the Nazi Party's leader when he wore the costume on a busy street near the University of Wisconsin-Madison campus on Saturday. He wasn't even at a party. He just went out. He was fired Tuesday night after his costume was condemned on social media and by some news outlets, including the Jerusalem Post. What was the news outlet that didn't condemn it? I let the news outlet that said, "Now we're good with that." I mean, really? That's
and here's for Fox's a hero of the week.
No, I'm see. I didn't even do that. I'm not putting. I didn't even do that, Pip. You're wrong. The museum said in a statement that it fired the man after determining that his continued employment would create an environment at odds with our values and unwelcoming to visitors and staff. The statement said the man's costume was completely unacceptable. Not even the mustache. We didn't even like the mustache. and that the museum stands against anti-Semitism, bigotry, and discrimination. See, Kyrie, was that so hard? The museum also said the man has cognitive disabilities due to a traumatic brain injury that his work over the last decade has been supervised. It is our understanding that he believed his costume to be mocking Hitler, the statement said. The Madison Police Department called the costume offensive and reprehensible, but said wearing it was not a crime. Thank goodness. Police said they told the man about the concerns his costume raised. The man's mother told the Wisconsin State Journal that her family wants privacy as they work with professionals on this sensitive matter and they are no longer allowed in Party City. Museum President and CEO Deborah Gilpin did not immediately return an Associated Press message seeking further comment on Wednesday. What more comment do you want? Stop anti-Semitism. We want more. We want a pound of flesh.
Yes, really.
Stop Anti-Semitism, a group that documents anti-Semitic acts. That must be a fun job. What do? I monitor all the anti-Semites. Tweeted that the man's costume was nauseating. Well, because he hadn't washed it. It smelled quite bad. UW Hillel.
He sleeps in it every night.
Yes. Well, it's his faves. UW Hillel, an organization that supports more than 4,000 Jewish students at the university, also denounced the costume, saying, "Our community cannot stand for this behavior." All right, so this guy got fired. This might be contrary to what people would think I would say. But considering who this man is, a man with a cognitive disability, considering where he wore it, not at the Children's Museum where he was affecting children and patrons of the museum, I think this could be one of those situations where, you know, you explain, you can't do this. And this is not a normal thinking. This is a documented person with a cognitive disability. I mean, this job is probably very important to him. Probably helps give him a purpose. What are we really accomplishing by punishing this particular person?
I don't think anything.
Well, not much. But here's the thing. Yeah, at the end of the story, they're having, they have people commenting on the story, like on the following pages after it. And one woman was saying that, well, apparently with the cognitive disability, somebody probably had to dress him, or somebody probably had to look at the outfit.
Oh yeah, no,
that person should have enough sense.
Well, that, and there's the rub. Because I thought of that too. Who is the person that let this person out of the house? I mean, we don't know the extent of the cognitive disability, but someone took him shopping. So
somebody goes, hold still, the mustache is a little off. You know, I mean, who is
now when you go to the middle of town, you have to get the goose step just right. I mean,
You know what? You're absolutely right. I had not considered who dressed him, but you figure if he has these issues. Yeah, somebody must have seen this in action or seen him, you know, getting excited about buying it and heard his plan. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to make fun of Hitler.
And the heard the plan. You know, well, I was
just said,
Hitler and stuff, but no. This isn't, Hogan's Heroes went off the air 50 years ago.
That's the person who potentially could lose the job or should lose the job. The one who allowed that. Not this guy. Not that he has no control, because we don't know the extent of his cognitive.
I think, and you know, as we were going into the story, I was having my last thoughts, and I'm like, all right, yeah, you don't have the cognitive abilities. Maybe he, you know, he's not thinking straight. Maybe they're stupid thoughts. But then I'm like, but you dress like Hitler. You know, if it was another character or somebody like, you know, that. One of the most hated, iconic, worst people that ever lived on this planet, and you dress like him.
But I would say he allegedly he thinks he was mocking Hitler. I would say this man committed perhaps some of the greatest satire we've ever seen, and here is why. Because Hitler did not just kill the Jews and the gypsies and the Catholics. He killed the disabled and the mentally retarded and the mentally disabled. So to have someone who's mentally disabled in full garb of the leader of the Third Reich, you are mocking, my friend. You are mocking on a different level that unfortunately most people do not get. But I get as a comedian, so I appreciate that.
Unfortunately, I'm sorry, yeah.
No, I was just going to say, you know what, though? We have had this before. We had lots of Bugs Bunny cartoons that mocked Hitler during that time period. Mel Brooks made a career out of mocking Hitler. Monty Python had things like this. You know, the thing is that it was the intention it's done with. Now, this poor bastard...
Hold on, Pip. Pip, I'm just going to ask you to stop for 1 second because it plays to your point. That was Donald Duck repeatedly saying Heil Hitler. So to Pip's point.
Yeah, you know this.
You got to remember when that was going on, we were at war with Germany. You know, they were the enemy, and it was more accepted that you're goofing out, you're parodying it, making fun of it. Now here's the deal. You said, well, this guy was doing it too. Doing it in the movie, presenting it in the movie where there's an outline, there's a dialogue of what's going on, there's an explanation of how you're doing it, is more palatable than just going out in the street dressed like Hitler and going, but apparently, but there's no preamble, there's no reason.
Joe, you're not listening to the story. The man has a cognitive disability. He's not going to follow a script. He's an improv artist.
Well, the thing is that this poor guy does not have a nuanced take on this.
No,
he got the idea.
No, he doesn't. I just explained to you he does. He's he's got a better understanding of comedy than most people who are criticizing this man.
we've all done improv. We've all done improv. Jesus Christ, that's how we all met. If we were doing the sketch, we're doing the preliminary meeting right now. We're going to do this sketch. I would say, well, we better have 5 minutes of preamble on the backstory before we even bring the fucking guy in. You know.
So your point is, this guy needs a producer and a director and a better writing team. Noted. I understand.
So it's the difference between presented in a movie or a film than just going out on the fucking, you know, sidewalk.
Yeah, but I mean, again, we're having a goof again. I don't think this is the guy. I mean, yes, it's horrible. Yes, it's disturbing. But is everybody going to plant their flag on this guy? Is this guy the biggest anti-Semite walking around? I think not. I don't know what this guy does in his free time. Clearly not good things. But with what we know about what from this, he thought he was goofing. He went downtown, dressed as Hitler. There's no indication that he has a history of being anti-Semitic, that he treats the children at the museum badly, that he's a racist. The guy had a fuck-up and he's a cognitive disability. We always go, well, they should know better. Yes, but in this case, he shouldn't.
Yeah, no, he doesn't necessarily.
You dress like Hitler and you work at a children's museum. I mean, it's you get he doesn't know what he's doing, but just where the place was, it's kind of a stigma to do that. You have your faculties or you don't.
Listen, if it was me, if I'm in charge of this children's museum, and I've turned the job down many times, but if I was in charge of the children's museum, I would say,
God help us.
No, I'll help you. You don't need God. You got me. I would say, after you get your little scratch-off ticket for voting, I would say, listen, we're explaining to him why this was wrong. We're bringing in Jewish people from the community to sit down with him. We're working through this. He doesn't have a history of being racist, homophobic, anti-Semite. This job means a lot to him. It's a strike, but we think he's better served if we can work with him. We think that's what you do. And you know what?
Yeah.
And then if like everybody's going to come after you after that, then they kind of look like the assholes.
All right. So this is what you do. If you have that's never cute. We don't want him here. Okay. What? So then while it's going on, you do meet with the Jewish groups and go explain the situation. And I go, look, he doesn't have his, you know, faculties all there. Could you give him sensitivity training and then make a statement that we met him give this and he realizes that it was wrong because it's coming from a Jewish, you know, an anti-Semitic, you know, organization, you know, an organization that fights anti-Semitism. And you're making the statement, look, we spoke with him. He is sincere. We feel that we're confident that he learned his lesson. It comes up because if you have that, well, it's right. No. You had, an anti-hatred group coming out and say, look, we spoke to him. He didn't realize. He's fine. He understands what he did.
Here's the thing. The ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, was willing to meet with Kyrie Irving, and they met with Kyrie Irving, although Kyrie didn't show up. His people did. His dad did. But the ADL was willing to meet with Kyrie, who did not dress as Hitler, but tweeted this anti-Semitic movie. But Kyrie Irving does not have any cognitive disabilities. Kyrie Irving has over 4 million Twitter followers. Kyrie Irving has less of an excuse than this guy has and much more of an influence. So why can't the ADL step in here and go, listen, let's meet with the guy. Let's work this. That's all I'm saying. You know, listen, I think it's a bad look. I think it's too easy to... We canceled this guy. That's what we did.
Yeah.
Is this the guy we're going to cancel? Out of all the reprehensible people in the world, this is the guy? I mean, you got to pick and choose your battles.
Well, that, and you see, the thing about that is if he came out and he said, look, we work with him, he understands, you know, he doesn't have all his cognitive abilities, and we feel that he, you know, understands the gravity of what he did. If you go, he was in a Hitler uniform. No, he came out and told you all of this. It's fine. So even the most harshest critic would have that where they're coming and telling you it's fine. What can you say? You got nothing to say.
That's what I'm saying. That's what my problems with the Children's Museum and the person who dressed him. I mean, yes, it's not. I don't know the state of this man's mind, but from what we're told, he's the least of the problems here. He's the least.
Yeah,
of
but you know what? Nowadays, if you're running an organization. And something like that happens, it's the simplest thing to do is cut and run.
Pip, do me a favor. Write this down. If I turn down running the country, that my fallback position is to run this children's museum because they need my guidance. Will you write that down for me in the show notes,
dear? Duly noted.
Thank you, dear.
Duly noted.
Are you going to go there as a vampire?
I might. Might be the only way I get invited in.
The Children's Museum is going to have an uplifting day.
For being a vampire. that we're just going to talk to the guy that did it. What do you got to say for yourself?
No, no, no. I think if he shows up in as dressed as Dracula, instead of canceling him, they'll just make it a teachable moment.
Yeah, but then maybe I'm insulting the vampire community. But all right, let's move on.
If it's the week of Halloween, that's fine. If it's a Tuesday in July, you got problems.
Oh, you know, listen, I like why you can have Christmas in July. Why can't I have Halloween in July? Fuck you! I'll have it whenever I want.
Stand your ground. That's a good. That's a sound bite. That's a
soundbite. Sure. And you know what? I feel better because I said fuck you. But we'll get to that story. All right. An attempt by some Ohio sheriff's officers to dress their horses up like, quote, ghosts for Halloween became more trick than treat for the department when some residents complained they look like the Ku Klux Klan. Ruh-roh. The mounted unit of the Lake County Sheriff's Office caused the outcry earlier this week when they paraded around town in the controversial equine ensemble, which included large white sheets covering the animals from head to toe. What? We're having fun. The lawmen had hoped that it would be fun outreach to the community. I bet you did. The riders thought, what a great idea to have big ghosts going down the street with torches, too. Frankly and Bruno told Fox 8, in addition to holes cut out for the eyes, because you can't have a blind horse, nostrils and ears, the horses were covered in festive orange pumpkin lights. As the horses went down the street, they were lit up for Halloween. To tell you the truth, the community loved it. Kids say they were great ghost horses, Sheriff Liam Bruno said. As a matter of fact, after we went trick-or-treating, we burned the cross. What's wrong? What, no? They didn't? Okay. Once pictures of the...
They just put the orange lights in the shape of a cross.
Sure, we're having fun. Jesus loves Halloween. Once pictures of the costume went up on Facebook, however, some residents were quick to point out the horses' resemblance to how the KKK dressed their horses to match their own infamous white hoods and robes. You know, I gotta tell you, that's the thing. Say what you want about the KKK. Very brave, because that shows stains. So they are either very neat eaters, or they're not afraid to dress... Impeccable, incredibly neat. The Ku Klux Klan.
I don't see that you have chicken wings at a Klan rally.
No, you can't. Well, you can't. That was a poor execution for a ghost. One resident told the outlet, "Yeah, he didn't fly or nothing. He didn't boo. He said nay. What a lousy horse ghost."
That would be a good idea for a commercial for a stain remover. We brought barbecue wings to a Klan rally. And so I tell you, I can't stand colors, but I do like spray and wash. Goddamn, I got that right out.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. Yeah, that would only fly south of Mason-Dixon. That's not good, you know. No.
What? He's selling product. How dare you?
Bad ad man.
you go back and look at the picture of the Ku Klux Klan. It's like exact replica of what the horses look like. Is there nobody on staff that is like, this is not a good idea? Clearly not, stupid. A sheriff's office should be out there protecting people. If I saw that on my street, I'd be terrified. Yeah, I can't blame you. The slew of negative comments prompted Liam Bruno to remove the post shortly after it was shared. That'll solve the problem. It never happened. Even so, he stresses that he does not believe his officers did anything wrong and that they did not intend to offend anyone. I'm sorry that perception was there, he said. It was never our intention to do that. All right, I saw the pictures. They did look like KKK horses.
They looked exactly like KKK horses.
I gotta say, the festive lights were not prominent enough to distract.
They're under the robe.
It's like a thin little, like, necklace. I guess it was the Liberace of Ku Klux Klan horses. I understand why people were upset. That being said, I do have a question. Say you're the Ku Klux Klan. Joe, not a stretch. Say you're the Ku Klux Klan.
That's wrong.
Say you're the
dude.
Ku Klux Klan, and you have black people to drag and crosses to burn. Say you have to do, and you have to hide your identity. You have to do all these things. It's a busy Saturday night. You have to do all these things. Do you really have to disguise the horses? Is there anybody out there that's going to pick a horse out of a lineup? I don't understand.
Isn't that Farmer Jad's horse?
I mean, really? Well, Pip,
I don't know.
Pip, when unfortunately you're a black person running for your life and terror, are you going to go, hey, wait a minute, that's Farmer Chad's horse? I mean, who is doing that?
That's Chestnut. I'd know him anywhere. Yeah, you'd know. In farming communities, you'd know.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably, yeah. Now, on the horses, was it festooned with pumpkins and Halloween stuff on it?
No, they showed a picture.
There was one string of colored lights tucked like a horse necklace, but underneath the robe.
It was very hard to see. Yeah.
It was not like... You know, if they had, like, some glittering garland of, like, ghosts and pumpkins and black cats and lights and stuff, you go, okay, I get it. It's a whole theme. But no, it looked like a slight glimmer underneath the Klan horse robes.
Poor execution.
It's right on the nose.
And I will say this. I will say, bad job by the police. How come the horses got to get dressed up, but you don't have to? Bullshit! Where's your white sheet, officer? This is some...
Even if they were, maybe that's different, but I feel bad. You know, I mean, they had to lay out. They probably go, really, we're getting in trouble. But you know what we laid out for this? $400 at Bed Bath & Beyond. We can't use them. There's horse shit and holes all over them.
First of all, nobody pays for the real price at Bed Bath & Beyond. Everybody has the 20% off coupons. They didn't spend that much money, and they're going out of business. They probably went to Ollie's and got the scratchy sheets that are probably irritating the horse's gentle flesh, to be honest. Right? Listen, I don't think these cops did it with malicious intent. There's no reason to believe that. I do believe they should not. I do believe this was poor execution, and let's not do it again, fellas.
Speaking of the Ollie's, it is impossible not to spend money in Ollie's. The Ollie's is as bad as the fucking price club, that place. I mean, you've got so much great stuff. I'm doing a commercial for Ollie's, but Ollie's rules.
Well, Joe, I mean, Joe, you just did a commercial for the Klan. It seems to be a theme.
Oh, God. Come on down.
Now, all right, so do we all agree... Probably not done maliciously, but a horrible execution of this idea.
If there was not more decoration, Halloween decoration on the horses, yeah, it was a stupid idea.
I think that this was not done intentionally, but when I saw the photos side by side, like I was trying to picture what Klan horses look like. When I saw the photos side by side, I'm like, oh God, that's so dead on.
Yeah.
That was really poor execution.
All right, let's do some School of Fools. This was Pip's. Ring around the rosy, pocket full of posies. Ashes, ashes, we all
fall down. Shame, shame, shame. School of Fools.
A New Jersey school board candidate is under fire over a tone-deaf Halloween costume consisting of a T-shirt reading, "Where's Nancy?" An apparent reference to the attack on Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi's husband, Paul. An anonymous Twitter account posted a photo of Tom Greger, sales exec, running unopposed for a seat on the Bethlehem Township School Board, posing in the shirt and holding a skeleton, which rumored was to be Nancy Pelosi. The frightening image appeared days after David DePepe allegedly attacked Paul Pelosi with a hammer at a San Francisco home, fracturing his skull after asking the same question seen on Greger's shirt. The crazed suspect was looking for the 82-year-old victim's wife, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who was in D.C. at the time, authorities said. A friend just sent me this distressing image from Hunterdon County, New Jersey, says the guy in the Where's the Nancy shirt, is running for the Board of Ed nearby. These people walk among us. Not good, the person added. Okay. When questioned by the New Jersey Advance Media about... This is where it gets fun. When questioned by New Jersey Advance Media about his question on who Nancy was, Greger replied, "I don't know. I don't know who Nancy is." The candidate danced around last week's attack by saying he was simply dressed as a home intruder. And when pressed about why he wrote Nancy, answered, "No reason. It's what was in the current events of the week," Greger said, adding that he was not dressed up as Nancy Pelosi. "No, I think it's just a Nancy in general, like a Karen. A Nancy," he added perplexingly. Greger, who served on the school board from 2015 to 2017, faced a backlash online for his costume choice. "That isn't funny, and it's not just a costume. He's making a statement, said that he's running unopposed." This is on Twitter. "Wow, what a great influence this guy is on students. based on his own assertion that he doesn't know who Nancy is, should be sufficient reason for anyone not to elect him to be responsible for approving educational curriculum and pedagogy for students, a third added. But some weren't as offended. Take a joke, people! Y'all really get stirred up about the smallest shit. If this is offending, maybe it's time to take a joke and grow up, one said, before canceling Kathy Griffin. A school board president, Kyle Harris, told Advance Media that the district seeks to provide students with a safe, supportive environment that promotes social and emotional learning, self-discipline, motivation to achieve their potential. The Bethlehem Township Board of Education is nonpartisan and respects the different political views of its members and the public. The Bethlehem Board of Education does not support any act of violence. Finally, we will not comment on actions of the public, including Mr. Gregor's, since he's not a member of the board. Another candidate, Francis Goger, said he found the image inappropriate. I found the picture in poor taste for someone representing the taxpayers of Bethlehem Township on matters that concern the educational program, safety, and well-being of students in the Bethlehem Township School District. Janet Bamford, a spokeswoman for the New Jersey School Board Association, said the group was not aware of anything in the Code of Ethics for board members which would prohibit this. The State Department of Education and the Director of Office of School of Ethics did not immediately respond to the outlet's message. I gotta say, this guy's running unopposed. But if ever there was something disqualifying, combine the shirt with the awful excuse. Oh, I thought it's just a Nancy. I have no idea. Like, the guy didn't even take the time to come up with a good answer or come up with a good lie. I respect a good lie. Give me a good lie. Or stand by. Go, yeah, I don't like Nancy Pelosi, and I don't like her husband Paul either, and I'm wearing. At least stand by. This guy is such a dolt, such a coward, and it's a school board position. It's a, like, you know, we talk about how can people be so stupid, and then we're going to put this guy on the school board. I know there's no way to disqualify him because he's running unopposed, but if ever there was somebody who was not qualified to serve in a school board position, it's this guy.
Yeah, he's a moron. I mean, why would you do that? If that's your opinion, he's one of these guys that, you know, think they're funny, but it absolutely is not. And you're in a position where you're part of a school board. You know, in the climate nowadays, whatever your personal opinion is, don't, if you're in a state of authority, nobody cares. You shouldn't be putting that stuff on. It's ridiculous.
Pip, I apologize. I was supposed to give you a first crack at that. I apologize. So I will dummy up and let you add what you want to add to it. I apologize.
That's okay. Well, in my blog, I said, basically, what has happened to, like, common decency? What's happened to compassion? This was an attack on an elderly man, despite who his wife is. Someone broke into an elderly man's home looking for his wife to hurt, maybe kill, with a hammer to the head. This man was his skull was fractured, and he had to spend time in the hospital, and he was not in good shape. Now, anybody's grandfather, if somebody burst into their house and started cracking them on the head with a hammer, you would be like, oh my God, what a terrible thing that is. But this douche thinks it's funny because he has a political argument with the man's wife. So, haha, let's yuck it up at the victim's expense. It's not the same as in Halloween. Everybody dresses up as the monster, and it could be the Frankenstein monster. It could be monsters that we've made up because they symbolize what we're afraid of, the real monsters in the world, the demons in human form. We make fun of the monsters, the evil things. That's what Halloween does, to scare us. We don't punch down and make fun of the victims of violent crime, no matter what political side they're on. This is disgusting, and what a great educator or a person who is proponent of education this person's going to be. Also, the BS about, oh, I don't know what you're talking about, grow a pair. Grow a friggin' pair. You know exactly what you were saying, and it's disgusting. Own it then. Like Davin said, if that's how you feel and that's what you want to present, own it. But don't pretend you don't know what you just said and what you were just doing. It's disgusting. nobody would put up with somebody making fun of their family member get beat almost to their death by a violent person breaking into the home. Why is this okay? What's wrong with us?
Okay, so we all agree. We all agree. If there was a way to disqualify this person from this position, he should be. But what are you going to
do? Oh, yeah.
A little bit of breaking news. The Republicans have picked up four House seats. They picked them up in Florida. So pick up a four, so four more. So they're probably going to control the House unless the Democrats pick some up. But anyway, I told you I'd keep it on the back.
Well, it was the House that was projected, I believe, for the Republican side. The Senate is a toss-up.
Well, no, right. Well, I mean, listen, the Democrats wanted to keep the House, but
the House seats. Yeah, we saw that coming. The Senate seats are going to be interesting as well. More interesting because they're not expected to pick up much.
Well, either way, listen. Well, I mean, listen. If the Republicans control the House, look forward to 2 years of Biden should be impeached, and we have that to look forward to.
You want to know something? They were discussing it today. On the radio, and you got to pick and choose the battles because basically, when every president that got impeached, their poll numbers rose. Clinton, Trump, and they're saying, tread carefully. You go after Biden, you're going into the election, the 2024, and you might pick up support because you're going to impeach him.
Well, there was also reasoning behind it. I mean, the botched. I don't want to get into a whole political thing, but one of the reasons I've heard was the botched pullout of Afghanistan. Yeah, it was a fuck-up. I think we lost 13 military personnel. It was horrible. It was a tragedy. I don't know if that's impeachable. I don't think poor execution of a military maneuver is grounds for impeachment. But whatever. Hopefully it won't come to that. Maybe they'll work together and get shit done for the people. I doubt it. But
no, they're not. But they got to work with impeachment because the Democrats got out of hand with everything is impeachable. Now, if the Republicans start doing that, what it's going to take the validity out of somebody trying to impeach a president, validity. If it's not going to be, you're going to take away the, I can't talk, I'm exhausted, take away the true meaning of impeaching a president. If it's going to be for everything, we left the window open in the green room. All right, well, he's got a problem, you got to pick and choose their battles.
All right, let's move.
It's a pissing contest.
Let's move on. I expect a pissing contest, so bring your umbrellas and
you're going to get a pissing contest.
Yes.
But it shouldn't be a pissing contest.
Bring your galoshes, kids. It's going to be moist out. All right. Alejandro Mayorkas was reading Facebook the other day when he saw a headline, DHS announces they will suppress as much speech as it takes to preserve democracy. Enraged that someone would spread vile misinformation, the Homeland Security Secretary sent agents to the writer's home. They battered down the door in the middle of the night and quickly whisked him away to a black site in a foreign country for a nice long chat. Did you believe that? Somewhere along the line, you probably became skeptical. That's a real headline from the Babylon Bee this week, but no one at the Bee has been arrested by the Department of Homeland Security. Reality, it's not outside the realm of possibility. That's why last week, the Bee called on Supreme Court to take up a case from Ohio being appealed by the Institute of Justice, where we are attorneys. Anthony Novak thought it would be fun to set up a fake Facebook page claiming to be his local police department. It landed him in jail, charged with a felony. Again, do we have nothing to do with our free time? Is this really what we these are first world problems. I gotta tell you, if I'm worried about a mosquito biting me and giving me malaria, or a lion biting me in the ass because I have to get water, I'm not setting up for cocked the Facebook pages of the local police. Good God, are we spoiled?
Some people have no lives.
Well, this is their life. It's not a crime, but. Not yet, maybe. In his post, the department boasted of police efforts to ban feeding the homeless, something not too far from reality, enforcing a mandatory stay inside and catch up with the family day. Ugh, that's a crime. And allowing reformed pedophiles to get honorary police badges. That seems real. Most people laughed. 11 people called the non-emergency line to let police know about the page. We can't have nothing nice. You ruined it, you snitches. One of these tattletales was, in fact, someone who had created her own page honoring the police department. Well, yeah, you would see how that would piss that person off.
Yeah, Mrs. Goody Two-Shoes has to call.
I thought, hey, Mr. Thin Blue Line. You should be appreciating that Facebook post. What side are you on? Even though Anthony took down the page after hearing cops had opened a criminal investigation, police spent weeks securing warrants and ultimately arrested Anthony and raided his apartment, seizing anything connected to the internet, even in game consoles. As Anthony noted in an interview, the police even tried to take his roommate's gun despite the fact that it didn't connect to the internet. Okay. Anthony's case went to trial where he was acquitted by a jury, but that doesn't make his persecution any less outrageous. And he's not alone in having found himself in police custody just for making jokes on Facebook. Down south in Louisiana, Waylon Bailey was arrested for an even more obvious show, comparing the COVID-19 outbreak to a zombie apocalypse. Share, share, share. Just in. Rapides Parish Sheriff's Office have issued the order. If deputies come in contact with the infected, shoot on sight. Lord have mercy on us. Hashtag COVID-19. Hashtag we need you, Brad Pitt. Waylon's wife joked in a comment that she was going to report him. The sheriff's office did see what the post and did not care for being the butt of the joke. We do not like your sense of humor, sir. Though Waylon's post included an obvious reference to Brad Pitt's World War Z film and a shocked face emoji. You know, it's all in the emojis, kids. You got to read the emojis. The deputies
not to understand parody, for God's sake.
The deputies didn't think it was funny. They slapped on body armor. I don't know if that's going to protect you from zombies. But conveniently left their body cams at the office. Track Waylon down to the garage he was converting into a COVID gym and came at him with guns drawn. Unlike in Anthony's case, the prosecutor dropped the felony terrorism charges the police concocted to arrest Waylon. Both Anthony and Waylon sued the officers who arrested them for violating First Amendment rights. Both had their cases dismissed after officers were granted qualified immunity. The Supreme Court created qualified immunity in 1982 with no legal justification. The decision protected two – well, that's opinion. The decision protected two Nixon White House aides from a lawsuit. It shields government officials who violate the Constitution unless an earlier decision involving materially similar facts has held similar conduct unconstitutional. That basically means that if police do something new and crazy, you can't sue. To writers at the Babylon Bee as well as the Onion, this is frightening. Every day, these outlets do their best to fool at least some of the public into believing that their satire is real news. In their separate briefs to the Supreme Court, they both make the case that qualified immunity should trump the First Amendment. The Supreme Court should make it clear that the First Amendment protects Anthony and Waylon just as much as it protects the writers of the Bee and the Onion, Stephen Colbert and Greg Gutfeld. In the meantime, the Bee writers should flee to a non-extradition treaty country for a bit. We hear the Secretary of America's is not happy. It's kind of interesting. I think it should be a crime of some sort to impersonate law enforcement. I mean, you know, the first one to me is more egregious than the second one. When they're posing as the police's Facebook page, and you know. I don't know if you have to go in there with guns drawn and take everything. I don't think you should be allowed to do that. I mean, and the difference is people know the Onion and the Babylon Bee and Gutfeld Show and Colbert Show. They know those are comedy shows, and even then they get in trouble for jokes and everything. Nobody knows your Facebook page. If you're not known for being a huckster, a little jokester, we don't know. All of a sudden you're being funny. Now again, I don't think it should be a crime, but
satire is not a crime.
But is this satire?
Cases,
is this satire though? I don't know if this is satire.
I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, don't you think that anything involving zombies and praying for Brad Pitt to intervene, is satire?
No, but they didn't put zombies in there. They didn't put zombies. They did not mention zombies. They said if you come in contact with the infected, shoot on sight. The only reference to the hashtag was Brad Pitt. And you have to know about World War Z and Brad Pitt. So I don't know. It's not obvious to some people, you know.
Okay. No, it might not be obvious to some people, but, if you're reading, you know, and you're culturally aware, you understand the zeitgeist, you know, you can –
But we know there's stupid people in this country. What happens if I read this? I don't know that this is satire. It doesn't mention anything about zombies. And I'm a little unhinged. And now I read this. And now I see a cop coming at me. And I'm going to shoot him to protect myself. I mean, it's not that far-fetched in the world we live in. So
It's not.
It's actually not. And because and the whole thing, well, it's a freedom of speech thing. Well, it's kind of like yelling fire in a theater, because you're using it in a capacity where it's not an official. You're posing as an official page. You know, if they made up a police department or like a, you know, a goof police department or something like that, yeah, you could have fun with that. But it's based on an official police page where the information can be misconstrued and misconstrued to the fact that somebody could get hurt. So,
and
for that fact, it's like yelling fire in a theater. Well, it's free speech. No, but it's not. It's not. It could cause undue harm on that, physical harm. What I think the police department should do is sue these guys for slander, you know, on what they're putting on there. Even though, well, it's parody. Well, not when you're putting it on, not when you're registering it as official page. It's not really parody.
The first guy did the official page. The second guy posted it on his Facebook page. So there is a difference.
Yeah. No, the first guy, that's pretty bad. That's really bad. You can't have that. But the second guy, maybe it was too subtle, and it could. I understand your point. I mean, in the War of the Worlds, this is going back many years, but some people got so freaked out that they thought that Martians really were invading, and some people probably were about to do stupid things under the fear that Martians were going to come get them and their children. In the movie of it, there's one moment where there's a car in, I think it's the Lincoln Tunnel, and they see red lights coming, and they had been describing the Martians as looking like fiery red lights. And so in the movie, the guy thinks that the number's up. He's about to shoot his kids rather than have them endure this. And then they see it's a police car, and he's like, oh, like, I almost shot my kids over this. But you could see unhinged people or terrified people doing stupid things, thinking that they're shooting to kill because you have COVID. My God, I just had it. So it's like, if I wasn't so smart, I might be like, what? They're coming to kill us? What?
Yeah, and I believe Gavin brought this up before. Parody, in the past 10 years, parody has imitated life so many times that you look at something and it's like, ah, oh, this has got to be bullshit. No, it's not. I mean, stuff in here is horseshit, but still, we're in a situation in society right now that, you know, the way how crazy things are, people could take it seriously.
Yes. True.
Yeah, I mean, like, they didn't prosecute the second guy, you know, the one. They didn't prosecute him. But, I mean, if he's going to throw emojis in there, how about a laughing emoji and an LOL? Clue us in, kids.
You know, or just make it a little bit more ridiculous so that you could go. Or, you know what, I found that when we're looking for stories for various contests and things, sometimes it's just so preposterous. I'm like, that can't be right. So I start really paying attention to the source material, and then you'll see something that's, you know, all the news that's fit to throw in the trash or something. And you go, oh, all right. There's usually some coded language on the site that lets you know this is satire. But if they're not skilled writers or they're not really as great a comedy writer as they think they are, they might have missed that little detail so that people don't get confused.
Well,
that's
listen,
not good.
If Joe's Facebook page has taught us anything, it's leave the comedy to the professionals. Because when Joe's friends and fans try to chime in, very seldom funny.
I put on Twitter today, and it was, I saw the joke of where I put it on Twitter, and I put it on Facebook, it's an asshole joke. I said, why did the Asian guy take Viagra today?
I saw the joke.
Hi.
I don't want to ruin it.
Because he heard it was erection day.
Oh, jeez. Oh, God.
I know.
Really?
I might have heard it. Some of our Asian friends.
You
made me laugh. Oh, fuck,
you're proud of yourself.
Yeah.
Dad jokes for those who hate Asians. By Joe Curry. Tell you what, anybody who had an erection after hearing that joke, they lost it. Anyway, let's move on. All right. Swearing can make a person feel more persuasive, powerful, and socially connected, and often has a positive impact on relationships, according to new research. Swearing produces effects that are not observed with other forms of language use. Thus, swearing is powerful. A group of scientists from universities in the UK determined it generates a range of distinctive outcomes: physiological, cognitive, emotional, pain-relieving, interactional, and rhetorical. For the study, researchers from Kiel and Westminster Universities in London examined 100 academic papers to determine if there were benefits to dropping F-bombs. They found that cursing to emphasize joy leads to social bonding and solidarity because it's perceived as a sign of intimacy among friends, while people are more likely to be polite with acquaintances, according to the study published last month in the journal Lingua. Folks who cursed in text messages also were judged as more believable or persuasive than those who didn't, according to another significant paper cited in the study. Or they went back to correct their text, because most of the time, if you want to write "fuck you," it comes out "duck you." God bless you.
Yes.
Excuse me.
Bless you.
And the researchers also found that swearing during painful experiences helps people feel better. Fuck yeah, it does. The overview of scientific papers on cursing confirms earlier works that by Kiel researchers, who in 2020 have released the results on their own experiments. In their study, they found that participants who swore were able to keep their hands in icy water longer and experience pain less acutely than those who stayed mum, according to the study. The researchers ultimately determined that the biggest motivation for cussing is to release anger and frustration, including coping with feelings of anger, stressful road situations. All right. I did not know that cursing was good for me. Did you guys know that?
Yeah,
I've read stories on that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's cathartic.
Is it?
And it is, absolutely. I think that Sensei would be Russ would be able to speak on this, because not saying a curse specifically, but making the sounds that they do during karate or, you know, martial arts, especially when they're like chopping a block, chopping some wood, you know, with a karate chop, they always come out with an a vocalization, because that helps the energy. It takes away from the feeling of the pain. It helps with the energy going down.
Then
we use curses, though.
Yeah, but here's the problem. To go by your theory and not what this says, if I want to achieve that same catharsism, I could say, gosh darn it, instead of god damn it, motherfucker. But it's not the same thing. They're saying cursing. They're not saying loud utterances. They're saying cursing.
Because you got to curse to get your frustration out.
But that's not what they're saying. They're saying these specific words help you get your frustration out.
Yeah, specific words. But it's like, think about when a kid falls, a little baby falls, and they stop for a second, and they're like, because they can't curse. You know, it's like, motherfucking stroller, if they could talk, that's what they would say. Yeah.
But they're saying... That's not what they're saying. They're saying these naughty words is good for you. They're not saying loud utterances or screaming. Like, they didn't say they held their hand in water and they screamed, ah! No, they said they were cursing and it helped them tolerate it longer.
Yeah, but see, like, vocalizing helps, but cursing is even better, because we know that it's something that we're not supposed to do, so we're letting it out. It's catharsis. You're just... you know, letting it all go, not just the sound.
But that's what they're saying. That's not what you said the first time.
I'm going to cross the line. I'm going to say, fuck, that hurt. That's what I do now.
Yeah.
So maybe we
absolutely.
should encourage people to curse. They'll be healthier.
I would.
Yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, there have been studies that say that people that curse are more intelligent than people that don't.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. I know a lot of dumb motherfuckers with a potty mouth, so I don't know about that.
At the day program, one of the prettier women go, you know, there's too much cursing around here. We should have a curse jar. I go, in this place, you need a curse drum. I go, you can't get supplies without laughing or cursing. I'm sorry, it can't be done.
Nope. Yeah. No, we try to keep it pretty cool in my day program. But there are times when either the manager's gone and there are no clients around, we let shit fly.
but I will say, I don't find those people more intelligent. I find it, you know, when we used to listen to the Opie and Anthony show when they were on terrestrial radio, I found it much more intelligent how they danced around where they created the picture, the image of what you of how they created without saying the easy words.
Anthony will even tell you that himself. You know, that it was kind of creative the way he did that. You know, and he mentioned on many occasions it was kind of, he goes, kind of cool the way we went around that to get, you know, to get, you know, what we wanted to convey across.
Yeah, that's much more intelligent to me.
It's very creative. I mean, I'll look back at the studies just to see, because I found that interesting. Maybe it was just like one of these dumb memes, and I'm totally wrong. I'll be willing to look at it.
I also don't find – I guess it would depend on the situation. I think being more persuasive depends on the situation. If it's a football coach talking to his team, then cursing might be more persuasive.
Well, that's the difference. You know, that's a different situation. When Ant and Oak would do that stuff, I mean, it was a bit, they were riffing, they knew they had to be in the confines of the FCC, so they would work their way around it. But in different situations, give an example of the day program, something's got to go next day air, the thing is about $35, and they've got it on credit hold. I'm like, you know, I got a phone, I go, what, they can't fucking read, it's next day air, are they that fucking stupid? Because you're so frustrated on how stupid people can be, you can't punch them, you can't fly there and hit them with a shovel. Using profanity in your speech is kind of getting that out.
Right, no, I understand how it's cathartic, but they said that they found it, people who curse are more persuasive, and I'm saying it depends on the situation. And, you know, if I'm a football coach, maybe. If I'm in a boardroom and I'm talking to my shareholders, no, you cursing would not make me bored. I would think you're unhinged if you were cursing in that situation.
It's the decorum of a boardroom meeting, depending on who's running it. I mean, at my last day program, we used to have the managers meeting every Friday, which I used to call Friday morning at the fights. So sometimes there, but so, you know, if I'm at a conference call, you know, at the present day program, I mean, it's the decorum of a boardroom meeting that you don't cross, you know. But sometimes you know, you got to emphasize how you feel.
Yeah, I just don't find. From what they said, that people who curse are more persuasive. I think there's more nuance to it than that.
There is more nuance. I think that if you were used to somebody being very polished and they're, you know, being like in a political realm or in an office realm, and usually everything is just no cursing, very businesslike. If all of a sudden somebody just kind of breaks it down and comes down to, like, I mean, shit, guys, can't we get this together? All of a sudden you're like, whoa, they're like...
Yeah, it's like situations like, you know, it depends on what the situation is. And the amount of decorum. If you talk to my boss and say, well, he screwed up, blah, blah, blah. However, when my field tech comes in to talking to my in-house tech, it's like, how do they go, that a fucking compressor was shot, he wants a whole new unit, we're like, fuck that, he's not getting order him another fucking compressor, and we'll get, you know what, because the guy was just on a job site, had to deal with people's bullshit, now he's back explaining, he's trying to explain the frustration of my in-house guy, you know, and you pepper it with that language to get you the frustrating and get the dynamic of the situation out.
I think that's cathartic. I don't know if it's persuasive. I think
it can be bonding, though.
Yeah, no, it could be. They did talk about that.
It's persuasive. Meanwhile, that if the field tech came in and told my inside tech how, you know, what went on with that and how adamant they were by using those words, if the customer calls up or the house calls up and they want, you know, well, no, we're not doing it. The thing, because my, you know, the field tech went in and he explained with colorful language what's going on. No, the unit is run. He's not getting a whole unit. It's just that, you know. And when you're on the phone with the supply house, you talk differently with that. No, you know, so and so just got in. It's just the condenser that's wrong. We're not replacing the whole unit. They're not going to cover it. So that's the deal. You know, with after that salty language from the ticket, but so you change the dynamic, and that's persuasive.
I think if I was explaining what went down, I could just say, man, he lost his mind. He was cursing up a storm. I don't think, I, listen, I, there needs to be more nuance to this. It comes across as like cursing is good. It can be, it can certainly be cathartic, but I don't think it's a sign of intelligence at all. I've never heard somebody curse up a blue string and go, yeah, they're a lot smarter than I thought.
Anybody that comes in cursing and stuff like that, I can trust implicitly because you know they're genuine.
Yeah, no.
That's sort of the bonding, I mean.
No, I mean.
Just today, when I was in the hospital, I was talking to one of the nurses. She was a real sweetheart. And she, we were talking about how, you know, like I said, I had a really good experience. The staff was all really good and friendly and helpful and, you know, explained things to me and, like, calmed me down. And, but I had seen this particular nurse several times, and she came in to draw blood and blah, blah. And I was saying, you know, that I liked that doctor and I liked the way he explained things and his manner. And she, you know, kind of just said, oh, yeah, you know, they're really good here. The doctors at such and such a place, oh, they could be such bastards. They treat you like shit. And I was like, she had just, like, we had, over the time I was there, it was kind of like bonding. I'm like, she didn't start that way. She was being very professional and everything. But as we were there for a while and talking and everything, she was like, oh, you know, I can say that to you. But, and I was like, this makes me feel bonded to her. Like she's trustworthy. She's like,
I could also be sitting there and think, well, that's kind of unprofessional. I could very easily think that. Like, wait, whoa, hold on. I don't know you.
what Pip was saying is that, you know, she didn't start off like that. No, because basically she kind of endeared herself to Pip.
Yeah, which makes me think that she's stupid. We don't know each other, and over the matter of a few conversations, I'm doing stuff that could get me fired if this person complains. You're a moron!
But you weren't there at the conversation. If it took the dynamic where it was... No,
I'm saying it could be taken two ways, so it's not a sign of intelligence. Pip took it in the positive way, the bonding way. Somebody else in that same situation could take it in the exact opposite. Go, I don't know you.
But like what Pip said, it wasn't at the beginning of the conversation. As the conversation progressed, where that person might have felt the comfort level that
yeah,
the word like that.
Yes.
And you know what I would say? Yeah. You know, and I could easily think comfort level. I'm your patient. I'm in here. I don't need your potty mouth. It's a stupid. It was a listen. This nurse is lucky that she got Pip, and Pip was cool with it. But there's plenty of people that go, no, I don't need to hear my professionals who I'm paying God knows how much to treat me. I don't need their potty mouth, and I certainly don't need them complaining about shit. Just tell me what.
No, I want to hear the tea.
You do, because you talk to Uber drivers because you're a nosy bitch. Oh, that does feel good. But a lot of people.
See, we're bonding.
We're bonding. I never felt closer to you than when I just called you a nosy bitch.
You said worse.
I might still.
Joanne used to do that. We want to know everybody about everything. I remember we were buying a car once. I'm buying a car. I'm negotiating the thing. And she goes, you know, he's getting married and they're going to have a baby. I go, I don't care less. I want four mats. For free. Shut up. Who cares?
I want to know.
By the way, the lead of the story should be... Joe just compared Pip to his ex-wife. That's what I took from that story.
I felt it. I let it roll off because I don't have the energy to fight. But I did notice that, Joe.
You feel close?
One demerit.
Do you feel close to him now, Pip? Do you feel bonded?
Information. Oh, do you know that, Joe? I don't care. Because you know me. That's probably why we're divorced.
No, but what I'm saying is Pip took it in the best possible way, and that's good for Pip and good for this woman. I take it as a go. This is a dumb twat. I don't know you.
I don't take it that way because like I said, it was towards the end of the conversation where a comfort level was built up between the both of them.
How easily do you get comfortable with people? What 5 minutes of knowing somebody? Go, oh, you can tickle my balls. How comfortable are you with people?
No, I had been there for hours.
I don't give a shit. You just met, stupid. You just met, and you're in a subservient position.
Time was put in discussing the topic, and there was a... Pippa, I'm not trying to... Sorry, but am I right? Tell me if I'm wrong, I'll clam up. Am I right?
Mm.
Well, yeah, she's going to say you're right because
you're totally getting it.
No, hey, stupid. Of course she's going to say you're right because you're agreeing with her. That's how shit works. She's not going to say no.
No, I'm not saying that because basically I'm putting words into her mouth and maybe I'm exaggerating.
They're the words she just said. They are the words that Pip just said, and you repeated them. Do you think I'm right? Yes, because you're repeating what I just said. That's how agreement works. Oh, my God. Yes, and the laughing is because she knows I'm right. You just...
But you were telling me that you didn't agree with the situation because you felt that the woman was...
No. I didn't give my opinion.
Further the conversation, I wanted to see if I'm out of line, if I'm not telling the story correctly.
I feel the woman was careless. I mean, it worked out because she got Pip, and Pip's a good cracked egg, and you know.
And what I'm saying is, I don't think she was careless because there was enough. Confidence in the conversation, and why yeah. I stopped and asked her is because I'm assuming that not being there.
How many?
Why don't I hear it from the person that was there?
How many news stories have we done over the years where somebody takes something in the worst possible way and somebody gets fired?
But the thing about it is that we have whatever news clip was in the story. A copy of the story. We don't have the actual person. We do right now.
But what I'm saying is, this woman took a careless gamble. It worked out. It worked out because it was Pip. But that could have
educated gamble because she had been speaking with me and we had built a rapport by that time.
Still a gamble. Still a gamble I'm not willing to take because you are crossing a line. You are now crossing a line if you are speaking in an if you're using unprofessional language. Now it worked out. It was fine. But there are plenty of people who go, "My word, heavens to Murgatroyd. I thought you're an RN. I've never." It's not far-fetched we could be reading that story. It really isn't with the society we live in.
Oh, no, I know. I mean, I've told the story. I'll point out that I've told the story on the air where I was having a surgery done, and the anesthesiologist was making comments about the nurses that had just been setting me up for the surgery, and I did not appreciate the stuff that he was saying.
And right, and that's something that there was no rapport. You had a rapport, and the doctor... had a problem. When I was a kid, knock on wood, it was the only time I actually was in an overnight stay in the hospital. It was about a month after my father died. I had a lazy eye, and I had to have surgery on it. You know, and the surgery was scheduled and stuff like that. So the doctor comes in and he's trying to get the eye patch off of me that I had on, and I couldn't see for about a day or so because I had the patches on. And the doctor was trying to take the patch. I'm 6 years old. And the doctor got frustrated. Ah, I can't, this damn patch is stuck.
No, that's not how he did it. He went, "Arr, I can't take this patch off." That's how he did it, Joe.
But he got frustrated. He got frustrated, you know, and it upset me. My mom was beyond pissed. And she's like, "You know what? The kid is sick. He just lost his father last month. He's scared, you know." And the doctor does that, and the nurse was going, "Well, he had a rough morning," and blah. And my mom's, "I don't give a shit what kind of morning he had. He's a little kid, blah blah blah." So, you know, there are places and the time. That was not the place and the time. When the doctor came into the office and made the comment about the nurses, that was wrong because it's taking away confidence in the situation. On the other hand, the nurse he was speaking with, you're going over the situation, there was a confidence build up, you know, and, you know, to make that comment, I feel was fine. So it depends on the situation, and it depends on the relationship that you have with this person and the rapport that you have at the certain time.
Yeah, I'm just not believing the whole view on the study that cursing good. It can be in a certain situation, in a time and a place.
I mean, look, if you're at the counter with a customer, know if you're on the phone with a customer that you're.
But according to this thing, if you're talking to a customer, you should. You'll sound more intelligent and persuasive.
That's wrong. I mean, if you just come back from from the Hamptons, getting in an argument because you want a whole new unit for a condenser unit, and all that's going to thing, and the guy's giving you an argument, the customer and the contractor, there's going to be plenty of cursing when you get back to the shop, explaining to the in-house tech, it's a place and a time, a decorum and a relationship.
Yeah, but this study didn't really take that. This study wanted to just paint the picture that cursing is good, at least the way that was presented in this article. I grant you that it can be good. I don't think it ever shows a sign of more intelligence. Sorry.
They said in searches, they said it is, but you got to, like I said, once again, you got to use the comb. You don't run around like fucking dice all day.
Well, of course. According to them, Dice is the most cerebral comic we've seen in a long time.
But when you're selling some fucking vacuums, you do.
I mean, come on. Like I said, I've never heard somebody like with a string of. I like Chef Ramsay, for instance. I've never watched him curse out the staff in the kitchen and go, my word, he does have a way with language, doesn't he? No. I get more of a kick out of when Chef Ramsay calls somebody a donkey than when he gets bleeped.
Me, I'm biased. I worked in construction for years and years and years and years and years. It's part of the dialogue.
All right.
I just have a potty mouth, so.
All right. Let's take our final break. We'll come back with some scammy scammers. On the break, we got new music. Joe, a metal band. I think you'll like this band. 10 Rogue with Hell to Pay. And you can learn more about them at deucemusic.com. And new music from Glossy with Out of Control. And there's cursing in this song. So, Joe, I think you're going to be happy with both these tunes. And that's from khb-music.de. Short break. We'll be right back.